how regular, you know, the air is changed, and how high the ceilings are, and what kind of filtration systems exist. These things make a huge difference, because if you're in a small box and everyone is talking and shouting and partying, then we would get what we call as a super spreader event, because of the aerosolized particles infecting everyone in a small space. And you know, that's really important. So the other important factor, if that's happening or you can't physically distance well, to add to that, then we talk about wearing a mask. And wearing a mask is probably one of the, you know, that was a controversial topic initially. It became standardized. Many places now have mandatory mask wearing policies. But we know that this can be challenging, particularly for some groups. And as I mentioned earlier, it's a big challenge for some people who live in the disabled community. So we need to take that into consideration. However, we shouldn't forget it. And caregivers, everyone who is supporting an individual that may have challenges, they all need to wear their mask, wear it appropriately. There is some recommendation, particularly recently from the CDC research, that says double masking is better. And it's important to wear your mask correctly. So while physical distance, we say generally about 6 feet apart, for masking, we want persons to make sure to wear a mask that fits securely over their nose and their mouth. A cloth mask with an appropriate filtration system is preferable for the general public. But also, if there is easy availability, you can use a medical grade mask, so a surgical mask, or as has become more available in Barbados recently, a KN95 grade mask. And in the context of the volcanic eruption, these things are also very, very important as well. So you can kill two birds with one stone for your respiratory health. And the other thing would be hygiene practices. So respiratory hygiene is important. If you need to cough, sneeze, do it, you know, in the corner of your elbow, do it in a tissue, dispose of that easily, wash your hands regularly, clean surfaces. This general hygiene is extremely good for disease in general. And again, very applicable with reference to what's happening with the volcano. So we can again kill two birds with one stone. And the last layer really of protection would be vaccinations. So with reference to vaccines, we know that this is obviously a topic that is very concerning for most people. There's been so much politicization, a lot of hypersensitivity around the topic, because I think people generally are, you know, distressed, tired, mentally fatigued with the entire pandemic. And the attention on vaccines is that, well, maybe this may be a way out. The first thing I would like to say is that vaccines can work, but they can work in conjunction with all the other public health measures. And, you know, they're a really important tool to make sure that we control the morbidity, meaning how sick people get, and the mortality, how many people die associated with COVID-19, which is pretty high. As I had discussed earlier, over almost 3 million people now have died globally from this disease. And many more have been sick in hospital. And the other important thing is that many people will continue to be sick for a long time, as we now realize that COVID has a syndrome, which people may call, you may hear people use the term long haulers, long COVID, post-acute COVID syndrome. But that just means that after recovering from COVID, people have lingering symptoms for a long period of time. Now, with reference to the vaccine is encouraged for almost everyone, especially in the adult age group, which is over the age of 18. Some countries, those vaccines can be used in persons up to the age of, from the age of 16. And, you know, I think a general misconception is that somehow a medication you're taking or an underlying condition may not, you know, permit you to use the vaccine. But the reality is that the vaccine is actually recommended for most people, okay, with most issues, because if it wasn't, then we would be in a very difficult situation, as those persons, if they do become infected, have a higher chance of developing severe illness, and those are the people that we want to protect, in particular our elderly population as well. So once you have an opportunity to access the vaccine, that would be generally my recommendation to everyone. And obviously accessing it depends on availability in country, as well as whether you actually have an appointment and all the other various things, which I'm sure we could have a conversation about, especially with reference to the disabled community. But importantly, the vaccines are safe. I think that's something that, and effective. What that means is that they achieve what they're supposed to do. So when we do these large trials for vaccines, which all of these vaccines, there are about five or six of them that have now been approved, we look specifically to see how the vaccine reacts in individuals. So we do small trials to see what side effects they have. Then we move on to, once that is relatively safe, we move on to larger trials to see how the body responds to the vaccine, meaning how your immune system responds. Do you actually mount a significant immune response? And then we will move on to look and see how this works in a large population. So yeah, I think I can stop there for now.
And take any questions.
Yeah.
So do we have any questions? Well, I will start the ball rolling, because as you pointed out, in terms of the vaccine, quite a few people have concerns, and you're seeking to allay those concerns by pointing out that the vaccine is safe to use. But in light of what we're hearing, that so many, well, it may seem like a lot to us, but to the scientists and medical profession, it's like a small number, like 1 in 1 million that have developed blood clots. What are your thoughts about this?
Yeah, so I mean, I think this is probably the hottest topic right now. As with COVID-19, there's always a hot topic. There was masks, and you know, when we were at the prevention stage, then there's hydroxychloroquine, and now we're at the stage where we're starting to now evaluate closely some of the longer term, well, not really long term, but maybe some of the short term rare side effects that potentially could happen with vaccines. I think the underlying message that people need to take away is that because of the nature of the entire rollout, which is we had an emergency use authorization for all these vaccines, trials were done as comprehensively as they could be to make sure that the impact on people was minimized, but we are constantly monitoring. And I think this should encourage most persons who hear about any reports at all, whether it's related to blood clots, whether it's related to Guillain-Barré syndrome, which is a common neurological condition sometimes that can happen with vaccines, whether it's related to someone just describing what happened to them. We want to hear what the issues are that the public may be having when they take the vaccine, because we want to know, is this vaccine working well in our population? So far, it seems to be the case based on the reports that we've seen in Barbados. And is this vaccine importantly working appropriately? So we have this concern about cerebral venous sinus thrombosis, which is a rare blood clot that can happen in a particular area of the brain, and that's where all of the conversation is about right now. Essentially, the important thing to remember is that in order to say that a vaccine causes a particular problem, there's a lot of research and investigation that has to go on, and that's why all these committees, you may see them pausing from time to time, or stopping, or you know, looking to see what's going on, because they really want to make sure that if it is happening, what has actually happened, to give the public confidence and to move on. So, I think that's generally speaking, but it's a very rare event so far. And what we need to do is make sure that we monitor what's happening locally, encourage persons to report and to give some, and we will constantly give feedback as the medical practitioners to the public as to what's happening. But so far, we haven't had any issues like that, and hopefully we don't have any.
Thank you very much, Dr. Russell, and we will have to take a wrap here. So it has been pretty informative, and I want to say thank you, and thank you to the audience who have taken the time to listen and interact. You have been listening to Visions with me, Yodalee Wickham Ashby, and today we had a very good conversation with Dr. Russell Broome-Webster on the whole subject of COVID-19 as it relates to persons with disabilities. Remember, you can reach me on 1-246-269-9660 or via Starcom at 1-246-430-7300, as well as via email visionsbarbados@gmail.com. That is visionsbarbados@gmail.com. And of course, you can listen to this and past episodes of Visions on the VOB929.com website. So until next week, stay safe, love yourself, and be productive.